Microsoft has the following products in their overall Dynamics portfolio. So one is the AX. So AX is meant for the mid-market and the large enterprise. So operating across multi-countries, having a diverse presence across countries, right? Second is the Microsoft GP platform. So Dynamics GP is a scalable ERP, typically meant for the mid-market segment. And it helps to collaborate across the different businesses. The third is the Microsoft Dynamics NAV. So NAV as a product, it is meant for industry-specific functionality, and it caters to the business needs. The fourth is the SL platform. So the Microsoft Dynamics SL, it's basically a ERP product, but then it is specifically designed to help product-driven mindset. So for mid-market companies who are project-specific, right? Catering to the project schedule, the project planning, right? So although these are part of a normal material management and a production line things, but then for companies who are very strong into a project schedule, so say someone who is providing only specialized services for project completion, so Dynamics SL is a product which is meant for them. Then there is Dynamics C5. C5 is offering which is meant for the SMB space, and it provides finance, manufacturing, SCM, analytics, and the e-commerce space. So if we have to talk about Microsoft Dynamics ERP, so the different verticals that it supports are the financial services, manufacturing, public sector, retail services. Right, so now having looked at the tier 1 and the tier 2 ERPs, let us look at what are the tier 3 ERPs, what are their characteristics, right? So the tier 3 ERPs are specifically designed for the SMB space that we've already discussed. So the typical features of the ERP are these products are designed for the companies which have annual revenues between 10 million and 15 million. Now, don't take these numbers as it is, so there is no thumb rule as such. But it's largely dependent upon the nature of the business, the cost that the company is able to spend for a ERP product, and basically how critical is a ERP as a solution to the company's success. Basically, that determines if the company should go for a tier 1 or a tier 2 or a tier 3, right? And the SMBs have less complex process needs, and they have limited locations. So basically, they are they're little scaled down as compared to the large organizations. So even the tier 3 ERP products, they have limited complexity and are often designed for a vertical specific industry, and they have limited breadth. So not as popular as probably a SAP or a Oracle, which could have a lot of modules integrated, but then they have a limited amount of integration. But then make no mistakes, they are centered to cater to the needs. So just to take an example, say for example, if you are talking about a hospitality ERP, right, then it is catered to understand the guest behavior. So say a resident guest, how does it behave from a non-resident guest? Say small things like providing Wi-Fi access from check-in till check-out, or probably catering to specific plans for Wi-Fi, or say for example getting a different treatment for a customer who is a loyal customer to the hotel, right? So these are some of nitty-gritties of a hospitality management solution. So in-room dining, so getting the billing system common across the different platforms. Say for example, if someone makes a phone call, then how does that billing reflect in an individual room? So these are the things that are typical to a hotel industry. Now a ERP that caters to the hotel industry might not cater to a chemical industry or a manufacturing industry, because this is a vertical specific industry, right? Coming back to our point about SMBs and their behavior, so two or three points that should be kept in mind when dealing with SMBs. So one is they need a solution which is cost effective in nature. It should have a lower TCO cost because they typically by their nature they would not spend much. They should be less complex to integrate and easily customizable. I mean, these are, you would say that, okay, these are common across large and small, then what is the difference? But then see, so let us understand. So from a SMB perspective, even if the functionalities from a ERP are limited, right? So say for example, if a full-blown ERP offers 10, then the SMB is good to go with 7 of them, right? So if a ERP offers 7, they're still good to go. It's not a, you know, a path breaker for them, right? So that's the business need. So the risk is that a company might outgrow the product in a few years and the tier 3 ERP is a smaller company and probably, you know, you might have to keep up with the changes in the technology. So these are some of the inherent risks of a tier 3 player. So at the lowest cost level, there is QuickBooks and Sage 50. So as I mentioned, these do not offer the full blown functionality of SAP or ERP or Microsoft Dynamics, but then they very well understand the business needs of their particular market segment. So small businesses with weak accounting systems usually benefit from using a tier 3 solutions in that they can quickly implement an IT solution that brings a structure to their business process at a lower TCO. Lower TCO is something that we've spoken how critical it is. There is a small risk we discussed that if the business outgrows, then the company might not be, you know, suited to cater to those business needs. So this thought always has to be in mind that, you know, from a futuristic perspective, you might have to see some kind of newer things in place. So just for completeness, let us again have a look at the tier 3 ERPs. So Microsoft GP, as we mentioned, there is Cispro, Sage, ACPAC, then there is Aptian, Acumatica, Americas, and the list goes on, right? Visibility, Xtuple, Smarter Manager, SolarSoft Business Systems, Harris Data, Megasoft Cube Technologies. So these list goes on. So again, coming back to the tier 3 and just picking up the discussion from there. So the business pressures for the SMBs are that they have ERP which has the implementations to manage the growth, and moreover, it is implemented in such a way that it enhances the business and it should be innovative in terms of its products and services, the kind of value that it will add. And it should be able to quickly adapt to the market changes. Now, let us also understand some of the challenges that a SMB would face in terms of implementing or upgrading a ERP solution. So, we actually saw what the needs of a SMB are, right? So, lower TCO, lower cost, less people who are skilled, right? A system who should be designed to adapt to the changing market landscape. And we also know that the risk inherent is if the business outgrows, then you have to change the ERP which caters to the business needs. So let us understand some of the challenges in implementing. So sometimes it seems that the SMBs don't have the desire or the money. So we spoke about the TCO, right? So perhaps it is that way, but then the leaders will have to basically, you know, get that mindset that in order to have that competitive advantage, in order to scale their business, they would have to invest in a robust product, not a full-blown ERP, but then something which could help their business drive more revenues. Analyst report indicate that over 75% of the SMBs would have implemented some or the other kind of ERP solutions. So significantly, SMBs currently for 40% of the total IT is spent. So by 2018, it is said that SMBs will spend almost 1 trillion on the external IT, and through 2020, 50% of the SMB IT investments will be for business growth, not for cost reduction. Now, this is a huge topic, right? So we all say that there are increasing pressures on cost optimization. But then as per a recent survey, it is said that people actually want to spend more to rather get more revenue rather than, you know, optimizing and doing cost consolidation. So historically, the software industry has focused on large enterprises. But the small and in a way they've left out the smaller business to try out the softwares with some or the other loopholes. So the scenario has not changed drastically, but then now what has happened is there has been a lot of ISVs or the independent software vendors who cater to this space. So corporations that have been downsized and customized for the ERP and the cloud options. So there are a lot of ISVs, as I mentioned, they have customized their offerings to cater to the SMB space. Now, what has happened is, as a result, the SMBs face multiple challenges in the implementations. And below are some of the major constraints for SMBs to continue with the ERP implementation. So first is a small environment, increasingly in density and complexity. So SMBs can have some of the complex IT deployments, right? So now, make no mistakes, these are not complex as far as the architecture is concerned, because by the nature they are very simple. But then the way that they have been designed, that makes it more complex. So you would say, give me an example. So say, for example, if there is a SMB, if it is had the need for, say, one server, then it has you know, spinned up a server and it has put it in the architecture. Now, this server functions as a silo. Then again, there is a business need, some other function, there is some other hardware component that is there. There are and as and when the things change, there are number of other applications that are there in the environment. But then these are individual applications, right? These are siloed again. These are islands of information by itself. So by the nature, it's just a small SMB, probably two or three applications. But then it's too complex. The application don't talk to each other. They have different physical hardwares on which they reside. They've increased the cost. The IT people managing them are more. So overall, it becomes a complex architecture, although it was not meant to be. Right, so with the prevalence of BYOD, cloud adoption, user expectation of a 24/7 availability, so the managing of the infrastructure and the network remains a major challenge for the SMBs. So this is a major challenge for them. Second is the limited IT resource. So we said that by the nature of it, SMBs would not have a full-blown system in place. So because of that, they also have limited IT resources to maintain and manage those kind of IT systems. So this is again one of the top challenges cited by 41% of the SMBs in a survey. The third is the overcomplicated IT solutions that are not very user friendly. So as we just discussed, right, SMBs typically expect some simple solutions. So it should not be too complex, not too complex to integrate with their existing systems. But then it's, you know, just as a module which can be just as a plug and play to their existing systems. So which is their need of the hour. Fourth is communicating with the business side. So although you know that, you know, ERP is meant to augment the business, help them for their demand forecasting, help them getting the things done in a proper methodical way, but then the business side of it doesn't seem to have a direct relation between a good ERP solution and the business, because they don't see that direct linkage as such. So that's where a change in the mindset is needed of the business owners. Last is the constrained IT budgets. Now we all understand SMB, because of this nature, it has a smaller budget, right? And the solution that you are giving to them, it should fit their budget, justify the TCO, and you should be able to get a ROI out of that particular investment, be it a small or a tier 3 ERP or any functional module that you've invested. So they would have a very clear ROI as a KPI for their company as such, because SMBs, by the nature, if you know you have a lot of capex infusion, and if you don't justify ROI, then it doesn't really make a business sense for them, right? So again, constrained IT budget happens to be the one of their biggest pain points and biggest challenges. So what is it that the SMB and their business leaders look for in a ERP? So first is, as we said, that it has to be simple. So it can be easily integrated with their existing product line, easy to implement, easy for the users to actually use it, right? So it has to be really simple. Second is, it has to be smart. Now, what do I mean by that? So products with user friendly and security are the key elements when we talk about the smartness, right? Smartness also has to relate to the changing business landscape. So basically, if a solution or a ERP package which is driven for the SMB, if it caters to their particular line of business and it incorporates the changing market dynamics, then I guess that is a right solution what a SMB would look for. So some of the key benefits to SMB: right information and data to be provided for the decision makers. We spoke about those. Real-time visibility of the status. So right from the time a quote is given to the cash that is collected from that order. Quick alerts and notifications if something is going right or something is going wrong to the decision makers. So SMBs, basically they have a very flat structure, right? So a notification, a IT head might also be the co-founder of the company. An integrated view to see the customer information for sales and marketing, that's the basic of any ERP solution. Ability to do demand forecasting and planning, again a very key as far as the success of a ERP goes. So direct benefits perceived at all levels to a SMB organization: improvement in inventory, reduction in operating costs, reduction in admin costs, improvement in complete and on-time delivery, reduction in inventory, right? So to sum up, the typical selection criteria for ERP for the SMBs. First is the functionality. The ERP should provide a fit for purpose use. So there is little scope for cost and time for a business process re-engineering. Second is a total cost of ownership. So we already spoke about how TCO is important. The ease of use, it must be usable with existing or no training to the people. Fourth is integrated suite. So rather than a multiple point solution, unlike Oracle apps, provide the flexibility to choose and buy the various modules. So say if I would want to buy a material management module, then I can buy it on day one. If I might want to buy a SCM module, I can buy it on day two. So, you know, kind of a phased manner deployment. So let us now understand the evolution and the trends in the coming years for ERP. So data integration becomes both a challenge and a demand as companies move to the best of the breed approaches to enterprise system applications. So integration, obviously we understand that it's a key challenge. Second is the role of data in gaining and giving the competitive edge will increase, right? So it's a customer data that will drive the business, even for the SMB sector as such. Third are the intelligent ERP systems. So with the newer technologies like cloud, IoT, machine learning, augmented reality, so these are more user friendly, right? So it has to be incorporated as far as the newer technology for ERP is concerned. More ERP product choices, but then the challenge for a business leader has to be in terms of knowing which kind of product is right for their business, so a purpose fit ERP solution. ERP product companies will provide a combination of license software, but then so this game is also changed, right? So earlier the ERP as a deployment used to be completely on premise. Now slowly it has started moving into the private cloud. slowly it will also start moving into the public cloud space. So something like AWS or Azure or a Google Cloud, right? So basically to help cut some cost for the customer, right? Security risk in terms of ERP will increase, but then there has to be better GRC frameworks to combat that. Price competition eventually it will heat up as as the market continues to disrupt, right? So traditionally you had everything on premise. Probably there will be some ISV vendors who provide not a license based structure but a package structure, you know. So price competition will go on increasing. So ERP implementation. So let us understand some of the critical aspects. So one is the planning. So all aspects starting from the executive sponsorship to knowing what the ultimate goal is. So the ERP has to be, you know, properly planned in that way. Then there is a business process re-engineering, which includes identification of the gaps between the existing business processes and the workflows with respect to ERPs. And then how do you make the changes and the strategies to combat those gaps? Third is implement. So implement the changes to a company's business process. As and when there are customization needed in terms of the different product life cycles, how those changes have to be incorporated. Next is the testing of the various levels of the product, the data migrations. And the last is the transition. So cut over to the new ERP product, get the data migrations from, say for example, from the older legacy systems to the newer systems, or if it's on-premise to the cloud, get the transition plan right, get a sign off and then move on. So the proliferation of technology has dramatically changed the way firms interact with their customers. So no write-up on ERP or the ERP solutions is, you know, good unless we discuss something called as the self-service technologies, right? So this enabled the customers to get, you know, now with the reduced touch points and with the proliferation of web. So basically a self-service experience, automated experience is what customers are looking at. And let us have some examples around those. So a few of the examples of the self-service technologies would be, say, in an ATM, right? So earlier people used to go to a bank to deposit money, withdraw money. There used to be a lot of human interactions. So now it's been the ATM where you have automated machines. Now even for the cash deposit, there's a automated machine, right? So how are this related to ERP? So at the back end, you have a core banking system. And there you have a customer relationship management module. So these things are related. Say something like self-scanning. Or let me take an example of say a classic case of say Singapore airport, right? Now I happened to visit Singapore probably about 3 months back, and it's now you know, completely automated. So you would not see a single person right from the time you actually take your ticket to the immigration counter to the security check. So it's everything automated, everything, you know, it's basically humanless. So these are some of the self-service technologies. So it becomes such a seamless experience for a user. If I have to move from one part of the airport to the other, it's everything available, say for example on my mobile phone, the Wi-Fi works well. So absolutely it's a perfect example of a self-service, right? So there there could be others, right? So say for example something like online insurance purchasing. So earlier you used to have a lot of insurance agents who would influence you with the different products, but then now say sites like Policy Bazaar and stuff like that, so you get an online comparison. The buying decisions have changed, so everything is now, you know, getting more focused towards getting an independence of the person to select the technology that he wants. Now, what role does this play in terms of the overall ecosystem of IT? So, as and when these technologies emerge, now the next is you would see a lot of robotic process automation in the IT industry. So, at a lot of, say, for example, the retail stores, you would see a lot of, you know, robots probably. So these kind of newer technologies, so something like say augmented reality, right? A virtual reality. So no longer would there be a need for you to walk into a mall to actually, you know, try on that shirt. There could be 3D spaces where you know, you could actually try out how does it look on you, right? So these are newer technologies, but then the systems at the back end, say the IT infra, that is your server, storage, network, compute, etc., they have to be scaled up. Things like your public cloud, where the systems have to reside, they will have to scale up. And things like your ERP, which is the heart of every enterprise solution, the business intelligence, the applications, the customer database, the customer management, the business strategy. So everything will have to evolve to get these newer technologies in place, right? So in this functional module, what we've done is we've seen what an ERP is. We've seen how it has evolved earlier, what were the MRP and what are the benefits that ERP brings onto the table, what are the shortfalls of the first phase of ERP. We saw the different implementations with R1, R2, R3 and the MySAP modules, and we also saw how is SAP, the philosophy of SAP different from Oracle or Microsoft Dynamics. And lastly, we also saw the challenges of the SMBs, and how do we overcome those challenges, how enterprise IT plays a key role for all customers, be it big or small, right? So, and last, we discussed some of the new age technologies like augmented reality and self-service technologies, right? So I hope this session has been informative to you, and I'd like to thank you for viewing.